Vegas Golden Podcast. This is the Player Per Day preview series. I'm Case Kiefer with Justin Emerson. We are on our eighth player, and that is the lesser of the two obsessed over restricted free agents coming, restricted free agent forwards, I should say, coming into the offseason. Tomáš Nošík.
There you go.
I never can pronounce his name right. I guess I got at least a 9 out of 10 or so.
Part of the reason I think I got into writing instead of like TV work was so I didn't have to pronounce people's names. As long as I could spell them right, we're good.
I don't think I'm terrible at it, but he's one that's always given me a little bit of trouble.
It's just like just the English thing. You don't expect the single S to be the sh sound, but you know the Czech thing it is, so whatever.
I am Czech.
Well, then you have no excuse.
I think that's why I nailed it once I finally heard you say it.
Case Kiefer?
Exactly. I don't know. Tomáš.
Come on.
Nošík.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the last time I'm going to make sure that's the last time I say his name.
Anyway, today. We're talking about number 92 today.
Yeah, the guy. So let's talk about the guy. Bounced around a lot last year. I feel like wasn't really ever solidified, maybe more of utility wise as far as the lines and stuff.
That's fair. Yeah, he still got into 68 games, so he played more often than he didn't. You're right. He was a center a little bit. He was a fourth, or he was a winger more often, playing kind of those bottom 6 minutes, kind of wherever they needed him to. One place we had mentioned it with Derek Englund earlier this week. One place that he really shined was on the penalty kill. He was paired with Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and those two were their number one penalty killing unit. So he's a good penalty killer. He had career highs with 8 goals and 17 points. We'll see where he goes this year. I think there's reason for optimism.
And it looks like there's a reason that he could find a more permanent home this year, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an opening in that fourth line center spot with Belmar signing with Colorado, though Golden Knights not able to keep him. And it certainly seems like Nošík has the inside track to land that spot.
I would think so. He's the only incumbent from last year's team that makes sense. Cody Eakin is not going to play fourth line minutes. He's kind of solid onto that third line. Could depend on if Cody Glass makes the team this year. They might want to put him, though I think his game plays better not in fourth line role. They've got Nicholas Waugh coming in. He came over from Carolina in the Eric Halla deal. He could be a guy. He's played center. He's big body, defensive minded, that could fill that role admirably. I think it's going to be between Nošík and Waugh for that spot. And just kind of going off of the incumbency advantage, I think it's Noshik's job to lose. They may prefer him at the wing. Though in game 7 against the Sharks, when Belmar couldn't go, Nošík was the fourth line center between Will Carrier and Ryan Reeves. And I think I said it on Twitter at the time that I believe that that was kind of a foreshadowing of what this season's going to look like.
So some competition then, at least a little bit to watch if you head down to City National Arena for any part of training camp or go to a preseason game. I feel like a little bit, at least compared to, I guess, teams more on the come up or more trying to restructure things, I feel like a lot of this training camp is devoid of drama for the Golden Knights. So if there's even like a little thing like that you can keep an eye on, it might be an exciting thing to do.
Yeah, as far as roster spots, I think you're looking at that fourth line center spot, maybe that third line left wing, which Brandon Peary may have the inside track on, and then one spot on the blue line. So you don't have a lot of roster battles, but there are some legitimate ones, and Noshik's definitely going to be in one. He could also be that third line left wing if they prefer him at the wing. But we'll see where he ends up.
And I will say, if you do take my advice and do that, go out to a practice or a preseason game and watch Nošík, just be wary of for a lack of a better word, the small sample size. I'll say this about Tomáš Nošík, and I'm interested to see if you agree. I feel like he can be kind of a frustrating guy in a way, because sometimes I watched him in practice early last year, and he was like incredible. He looked like he was he was scoring on everyone. He had some good preseason games maybe as well, and it didn't always translate into the games. I feel like he's a guy that comes across maybe even better in that environment.
Yeah, I think you might be right. The sample, I think that's interesting that you bring that up, because that was the next thing I was going to say was, so among players who took 20 draws last season, which is not a high bar to clear, 20 faceoffs, Nošík won 62.1% of them, which was the best rate in the NHL. Now, he only took 132 all season, so that might be something that gets exposed on a fuller sample. Before this season, his career faceoff win percentage was 53.9, which is kind of why I like him at center. It's a team outside of William Karlsson who really prioritizes winning faceoffs. Paul Stastny, one of the better ones in the league. Cody Eakin won faceoffs. Pierre-Edouard Belmar was very good. Noshik can kind of jump in and I think fill that role that Belmar played last year. He's not necessarily flashy and he's not going to get a lot of points and a lot of goals, but he's a solid defensive player who kind of does the little things right. And like you said, he does have kind of that flash and he'll show it off in practice from time to time, but he's steady, which
more
I think
steady
is a nice way.
Game time.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's boring, but he's kind of that guy. He's going to go out you. He's going to win some faceoffs if he gets the opportunity. He's going to play sound defensively, and he's kind of like a middle reliever in baseball or an offensive lineman in football that if you don't notice him, he's doing a good job at what he's being asked to do.
Yeah, this is my once per episode reminder that I feel like I know nothing about hockey, but I just do feel like
for a guy that's running a hockey podcast, you do like to bring that up quite a bit.
I guess it's just a way to hedge me saying something really stupid, but I just fair. Think watching him, I just always think that his production could be a little bit bigger.
Well,
than
I'm
it
glad,
is.
I'm glad you said that. Let's take a look at some advanced stats, shall we?
Okay.
So at 5-on-5 last year, he shot 7%, which is below the league average of about 9-10%. He had 10.4 expected goals at 5-on-5 and only had 7. So he was very close to being a double digit scorer last year. And if he were to play on the fourth line this year and be able to do that as a center, maybe the goal numbers don't quite hit, but as a distributor, and we'll get into it with the Will Carrier episode tomorrow, spoiler, that I think Carrier is a guy who can score as well. So Noshik, I think, can produce, even though he did have career highs in goals and points last year. I think he can still produce at a level better than what he did last season.
Yeah, 8 goals, 17 points last year, and I might just put a moratorium on bashing my hockey knowledge now, because I really hadn't even looked into the advanced stats, and kind of what you were saying.
See, your gut is telling you
the
right
thing. Yeah, it kind of matched what I was, it kind of illustrated my take, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, I wrote a story for LasVegasSun.com. It came out August 9th. It was kind of talking about 3 players who I think are going to be better than last year, 2 players who I think are going to be worse, and I did a little blurb on Noshik because I think he's going to be better. I think he's a guy that was – there was a lot of promise coming into this year, or I guess last year, with the 2 goals in the Stanley Cup final and the strong preseason are like, okay, this is a guy that's ready to break out, and then he didn't quite do that. A real slow start to the year, but I think that this is a guy that whose stock I'm buying for this season.
Couldn't disagree with that. He did sign a 1-year, $1 million contract.
Yeah,
I
believe very little risk there. If let's say that he is terrible, the Golden Knights can waive him, and even if he isn't claimed, stash him in the minor leagues for no cap penalty because of how little his salary is. I don't think that's going to happen, but 1 year, $1 million, that's a no risk contract. He'll be an RFA again at the end of the year. He'll be a UFA at the end of the year. He'll be unrestricted. So he's going to be motivated for a big year and try to get that next contract.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big thing to bring up because you hear contract year thrown around all the time for guys that are like the top level of any, whatever, pick your favorite sport.
Sure.
But you don't hear it enough. I feel like it could be even more impactful or meaningful for a guy, you know, kind of on the fringes of the roster, like a Noshik. I mean, this guy's playing for his future in the NHL. If he has a bad year, like you're saying, the Golden Knights could get away from him. If he likes it here and has a really good year, they'll be fighting to keep him. This really looms large for his whole career. So I think that's the contract year is not just something to gloss over after just signing a 1-year deal this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor Hall in New Jersey could have a bad year and still get a good contract coming out of next summer. Noshik, you know, he's 27. He's going to be 28 next year. That's not typically a time where guys break out. So this is an important year for him, and I think he's going to be motivated, and I think he's going to play well. I'm on board with Tomasz Noshik this year.
Seems like we're mostly in agreement. If he does end up in that fourth line center slot, which we both kind of think might be the case, how's he pair with Ryan Reeves and Will Carrier? What do you think they'll look like on the ice?
Well, Noshik isn't really a big He's not a guy that's going to go and lay the big hits. So playing with Carrier and Reeves, he's not going to have to. He's faster than them. I actually think it's a pretty good balance between a kind of a defensive first guy in Noshik, as well as two guys who are never afraid to muck it up in Carrier and Reeves. So I really like that line, and that's the one I would go with. But we'll see what Gerard Gallant wants to do.
Yeah, I would think almost certainly we'll see that line at least some.
Yeah, we'll see it at some point next season. If it happens for 60 games or whatever, who knows? But
it's just a question if that is what we see on opening night, October 2nd against the Sharks. Should be interesting. We sign all of these off with a prop bet from the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook when applicable. It's not with Noshik. Yet more disrespect for our favorite Czechoslovakian forward. They do not have a prop on his, so I had to make one up. We've gone with gotten a little creative the last two. We went hits and games play, but I just went back to goals for Noshik.
Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of variance in this, though. We don't know where he's going to be playing, how much he's going to be playing, but I just went with the straight 7.5. He had 7 2 years ago. He had 8 last year. I actually feel pretty confident that if the Westgate was to hang this one, that would probably be the number, maybe juiced on one side or the other. But I think that's where I'm going, 7.5.
Yeah, I like that. I think if I was setting it, I'd probably do like 6.5 or something like that. But for the reasons that I said, I think that Noshik has better hockey ahead of him still. So I'm going to take the over on 7.5 goals for Noshik this year.
I went in thinking I was probably going to take the under yet again. I think I've taken the under 4 of these podcasts in a row, but I kind of want to buy low on the guy too. And hearing your thoughts kind of echo mine, I think this might just be the Tomas Noshik podcast this year, the Vegas Golden Noshik cast. It's going to be a fight if we bring back the Shining Knight competition like last year. It's going to be who has the first pick. That's going to be whoever takes a Tomas Noshik.
Yeah, definitely. The first pick is going to be Tomas Noshik.
I think you picked him pretty high last year.
I did,
maybe
yeah.
It was me. It was like week 2.
One of us did. Yeah.
All right. So it is official. I think we were a little negative, at least in spots, the last 2 days with Reeves in England, but overwhelmingly positive for Tomas Noshik.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And let's hope he lives up to it this year. I'd love to see him match some of those things I said I think he can do, that Justin said he can do. That does it for Tomas Noshik. I said I wasn't going to say his name again. I ended up saying
it
like
6
more
times afterwards.
All right, well, that is Vegas Golden Podcast, a player a day. Every weekday, we'll have one more this week, so come back Friday to hear about, as Justin said, Will Carrier.